people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for tuning in once again. It's Monday. It's Monday. Can you believe it? More importantly, it's March. I mean, seriously, it is March 2nd today. I don't even know what to say. It's moving so quickly. I think it's true. The older you get, the quicker the years go. And wow, I'm telling you, I did not believe that when I woke up this morning it was going to be March. But here we are. It's Monday. We're going to get through this together. Today is, again, the second day of March. This is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. My name's JD. We are live like we are every day, Monday through Friday. None of this repeat nonsense for us, unless, of course, you listen at midnight, because then that's when our repeat plays. But most likely, you guys are hearing this live right now, and if you are listening live, you can go to truthfrequencyradio.com and check out the chat room, get involved with some of the other listeners. We love having this open format. Gives you guys some opportunity to comment back to us and talk to the guests when we get them on the program. And just can't thank you guys enough for being in there every morning. Love seeing the familiar faces. Lex is in there. Woodwolf's in there. Obsidian's in there. PRC's in there. Robert's Girl's in there. My good friend Robert's also in there today. Appreciate you guys being in there. Just love the family jive and going on here at Truth Frequency. Of course, this is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. You can go to our website as well at redpillreports.com. Right at the top of the page there, you'll find out all that you want to know in the guest section about whoever is coming on the program today. Links to that person. I'm going to get into this in just a second, but you'll also be able to find all the news and stuff that we aggregate from around the world. Monday is a great day to go there because lots of stuff going on this weekend. Holy cow, we're going to have our work cut out for us today. That's why I'm talking so quickly. It's also probably because I got some really good coffee in me this morning. So I'm going to slow it down. We'll slow it down just a second here, guys. First of all, we got a lot of snow this weekend. Again, it's March. It's Missouri. I understand that typically, historically, statistically, that's not necessarily a weird thing. But I'm over it, man. I'll tell you what. And just giving you guys here in the States a heads up, all 50 states during the next 7 days will have snow in at least one part of the state. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to snow where you are, but it does mean that somebody that you know is going to be complaining about snow for at least another week. And it won't just be me, because it's probably like 45, 50 degrees out here right now. And I don't imagine our snow is going to be sticking around. But again, weather reports showing right now, all 50 states calling for at least a touch of snow at some point in this week. So continue to have your supplies, things in the car that you would normally keep in there in case of like some kind of winter emergency. Just keep that stuff in there for a little while longer. I know it's March and typically we should all be thinking about birds. I did see a pair of cardinals out yesterday, a boy and a girl. I love the cardinals, man. They're so pretty, especially set against some snow. Cool stuff this weekend. So anyway, do you guys have a good weekend? I had a good weekend. Maybe 49, someone's saying here right now. We're probably talking about Colorado. Hopefully it'll get up into the 50s today. We'll get rid of some of this stupid snow because I'm over it. I like it when it's falling and it's nice, but then I'm over it pretty much immediately thereafter. So again, ready for spring. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you guys are staying warm wherever you are. Snowing in Hawaii. That's what the weather report says, guys. Seriously, global warming not working out. I was outside all weekend. I had a whole crate of Aquanet hairspray and I was just standing outside spraying it and it wasn't getting any warmer. I mean, it's doing nothing. So I don't know about this whole global warming thing. Anyway, let's talk about what we're going to be talking about in the second hour today. I'm very excited. One of my absolute heroes is going to be coming on the program today, guys. Jack Blood joining us at the 11 o'clock hour. I'll tell you what, if you guys don't know Jack Blood, he's a radio personality, somebody who's been in the business for a long time. Very good at gathering obscure information from around the world. Probably nobody that I know that understands the way the global super elite operate as well as Jack Blood does. And he's very good at commenting as the news du jour keeps coming in. And there's a lot of news du jour today. So looking forward to that conversation for sure. Karen Hudis is going to be joining us tomorrow. We're going to be talking more about the global currency reset. Of the opinion, I don't know about you guys, been following the economic stuff here, but I'm of the opinion that we were supposed to be Basel III compliant at the banks as of today, or as of yesterday. I believe the Congress is supposed to get some kind of heads up about that tomorrow. No idea what any of that means. No idea if there really are Treasury reserve notes. No idea if there really is a global trust. I'll tell you what, I said this last week, I'm done. You know, I'm done. I've withdrawn my consent. I'm working actively at figuring out a plan to get out of here, especially looking at that mid-August to September time frame in this country right now, not where I think I want to be. So trying to figure out a way to get out of here, guys. And doesn't mean I'm going to be off the radio. Just means I think that things are coming down here. There's going to be a lot of changes coming soon, and I don't know that they're necessarily going to be that good. So going to talk to Karen Hudis about that tomorrow and figure out where we're at with this whole Trust Fund for Humanity situation. James Perloff is going to be joining us on Wednesday. I want to go over a couple of his books that we haven't ever talked about on air. He's done a lot of research into Darwinism, and I actually got this weekend, I got a couple of books. We were speaking with, gosh, I can't remember who we were speaking with last week about The Matrix, and he suggested some books were actually the books that the producers of The Matrix gave to Keanu Reeves to muddle his brain up before he did his performance. But one of the books I got was this evolutionary psychology book, and it's really interesting, but it really talks a lot about the psychology of evolution and how that framework shapes the way that we think about everything else. It's a lot more important, I think, than I first realized. And anyway, so I'm looking forward to James. He's obviously one of the best historians that I've ever met in my life, and there's not a detail that escapes that guy. But when it comes to looking at the framework through which we look at humanity, this Darwinism thing, I'm really looking forward to some of his insights on that as well. Greg Morse will be joining us again on Thursday. Please, please go to the Top of Red Pill Report and go find his petition. There's a link to all of the mortgage crisis articles. There is so much going on in the mortgage derivative market, funding of terrorism aspect of this thing. And again, Greg Morse's lawsuit is moving forward. So there are developments going on, and we really want to be on board with him on that. We want to give him as much support as we can possibly give him on that, because we're talking about the value of your own homes, ladies and gentlemen, and how, again, just like everything else of value on the planet, these corporate gang banksters have stolen it and leveraged it and used it for their own devices, which is mostly fomenting war and unrest around the world. We're going to have to talk about an incident that happened in Russia over the weekend, too, because I'm picking up some pretty strong false flag type of motifs going on there. Sorry to use the word motifs again. It really bothers some of the people that I know out there, but it's an appropriate word, so everybody can just deal with it. It's Monday. Anyway, and also, I got to tell you guys, Friday show. Well, please, first of all, please go and sign Greg Morse's petition. We need some community leaders. We need to get this whole we got to get to the bottom of this whole derivatives and MERS, DDCT, all of this nonsense with the mortgage scandal. I almost can promise you that the chain of title on your mortgage, the persons listening to this program right now, have been broken. And there would be very difficult to prove that you own your home, regardless of how many payments that you've made, regardless of whether or not you own the note, have it in hand. 90% of the time, not true. So we do need to talk about that, and this is something we do want to keep bringing up, and especially as Greg is moving forward with his lawsuit, we need to stay really on point with that and make sure that we are giving him a lot of support. Hello, all new people that just joined the chat room. Carolina Girl, Obsidian's in there, Shark's in there now. Appreciate you guys being in there. Good morning to all of you. I can't talk and type at the same time, so you're just going to have to deal with my good morning over the air. And, okay, Friday show. I'm just going to give you guys a heads up. Friday's show is going to be ridiculously awesome. I'm just saying right now. We're going to do the whole 2 hours with Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. We're going to go over the news. We're going to talk about how ridiculous the world is, and probably a whole bunch of other stuff. They've got a new website that they've launched regarding your own health, growing food, how to recognize food that's not good for you, things like that, kind of the other side of the coin from this is everything that's wrong in the world, which is really what True Stream Media is about. These are all the challenges that we face. Their new website, and of course, if I was a professional at my job, I'd have that in front of me right now, but I don't because I suck at life. And so anyway, I will have that for you before the end of the show so I can again promote Mel's new website. And really looking forward to Friday's show, just kind of goofing off, going over the news with those guys and seeing what the insight is that they bring to the table, because I am not that smart. And those people, I'll tell you what, I couldn't hold a candle to Aaron and Mel. So they also have a show on Truth Frequency. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I believe it's on Saturday evenings. Fantastic stuff. 2-hour live show that they do every week. So many good hosts on Truth Frequency. If you guys could throw Truth Frequency Radio a dollar or two just to help continue to keep us at the top of the pile in terms of alternative news and information, I would very much appreciate it. I'm sure Chris and Shuri Geo would appreciate it, and I'm sure also that all of the other hosts would as well. Speaking of appreciation, I got an email this weekend from a gentleman named Patrick. Patrick, your email made my weekend, my friend. This is a gentleman that is just kind of like all of us. Everybody's at a different stage in the waking up process, and it always astounds me when people come to me and they say, wow, I literally just woke up last week. And, I, you know, at first I'm like, wow, holy cow, it's 2015, you know. But it's awesome because that means that we haven't reached our saturation point yet. There are still minds out there that can be woken up. And Patrick sent me the most wonderful email and really complimentary about some of the other listeners and the questions that they're being brought to the table, and as well as the guests. And Patrick, that's the name of the game, brother. This is what we do. So appreciate the emails. Fran sent me a really nice email too. She's one of our regular callers. Just absolutely love having her. I told her that a lot of other listeners think that she should do her own show. Maybe we should talk, Fran, you and I, about doing a little co-host once a week. Maybe. What do you think? Lots of news out there, Fran. You're super smart. Love having you in the chat room. Love having you listening to the program. Patrick, can't thank you enough for the email. My producer, who is awesome, just got me Aaron and Mel's new website. It is nutritionalanarchy.com. Cannot recommend it highly enough. Just as high quality as TruthStream Media, their other project site. But Nutritional Anarchy, love, love, love it. And we'll be talking to them about that probably pretty extensively on Friday. Bottom line is, right now we're doomed, ladies and gentlemen. I talked a little bit last week about Health and Human Services essentially starting to get together some legislation to make vaccines mandatory. I cannot find the article again. I need to go back and try and find this, because the article that I was reading said that Health and Human Services were planning on opening up a comment period for a couple of days. And I was going to encourage everyone to go there and essentially tell them that they were going to bring pitchforks and torches to the Health and Human Services offices, because really what they're attempting to do, it's so much more draconian than just saying, okay, you're coming to the hospital because you're under the weather, but I see here, sir, looking at your international healthcare documents on the cloud, that you refused to get a flu shot last year. And so now not only are we not going to give you any medical care, but actually we're going to go ahead and charge you as a biological terrorist because you came to a facility knowing that you were, potentially carrying some kind of disease. So we're going to take you to a FEMA camp. How long are we away from that? I mean, honest to God, how long are we away from that? They were even talking in this legislation about making catch-up vaccinations mandatory. By catch-up vaccinations, I mean, like, if you haven't had one in 4 years or you're a couple years behind, let's give them all to you at once, just like a baby. Just give 13, 14 at one time. Bam. Just like that. Awesome. I can't wait. And they're trying to roll it into Obamacare. So again, I'm trying to find where it is on Health and Human Services website where they're saying that, because, we gotta stop. That's a petition that I think we do need to get to the bottom of. I made that term up, biological terrorist, but I can imagine that they would use that label on you someday, because it's gonna go beyond just leveraging your own healthcare against yourself. If you don't acquiesce to their vaccine requests, well then you're not entitled to healthcare. It's going to go much further than that. They've already got rules out that says they can forcibly detain and vaccinate you in the event of some kind of national emergency that relates to, some kind of illness outbreak. They're already codified. They codified all this stuff before. Now they're going to try and roll this thing in. So now you're going to become a vaccine refuser. I guarantee you, you're going to be a harbinger of biological death to these people. That's what they're going to basically call you. And you're going to be a terrorist. You're going to be one of these people that thinks that you know better than the big pharma companies, and they are the people who pay for the military and the people with the guns to come and forcibly inject you. So it's happening. It's happening right now. And I keep talking about wanting to get the heck out of here. The walls are closing in, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, So that's what's going on there. Again, nutritionalanarchy.com is Mel's new website. Let's see, support that, do this. Oh, gotta give you guys a heads up too, carrot bars. We talked about carrot bars a little bit. I've been bringing it up a few times. pardon me, I'm a huge fan of carrot bars. Let me just say that out front. German company, they operate in a lot of different countries. They sell gold in 1, 2.5, and 5 gram increments. You can become an affiliate and then you can actually earn free gold by signing other people up to buy gold. But there is a link at the top of Red Pill Reports, and just this weekend they launched their new website, and it is super duper snazzy. So if you have been kind of holding off on trying to go check out carrot bars, now would be a great time. Website looks absolutely amazing. They just bought their own gold mine, so I imagine that's going to be used to bring the cost of gold down just a little bit. And man, just good stuff right now. Good stuff right now, especially with the markets going crazy the way they are. We're going to talk about that when we get over into some economic news. I really highly recommend everybody go to redpillreports.com and check out the show section, because then you can you can then, what am I talking about? Show section. News. Oh, because it's already, I've only got 11 minutes left in the section and I haven't even started talking about the news yet. So please go to the show section and find all the news that's pertinent. This is like a one-stop shopping trip for your daily dose of deprogramming. I'm also being reminded that we now have an unseen banner up at redpillreports.com, so you can follow to Unseen, which is the private email and chat client, very similar to Skype. We love it, love it, love it. It's interesting. I was reading something this weekend, and I think it was some recommendations for what to do if you win the lottery or something like that, you know, how to handle them. Getting a private email client and a private email chat was one of the top, you know, five things that was in that list. I thought that was really interesting. And they named Unseen by name. So there is, there are people out there. People, Unseen is really starting to grow. And, you know, Chris Kitsy and Water Lily, huge fans of both of them. I'm sure they'll both be back on the show here coming up soon. So we'll talk a little bit more about Unseen. But if you want to get signed up, it is free. Go and follow the link from redpillreports.com and check out that Unseen. Man, I'll tell you, that's good stuff. That's encrypted, private, client. Man, good stuff. And private email, good stuff. Okay, I will move on here real quick. Somebody sent me something in the chat room I want to check out is an immunization adult push from John Rappaport. Was this the article that I was reading the other day? Adult immunization push. I'll tell you, they're just going to ramp this thing up like it's nobody's business. Got to remember too that most of those people that had measles in California were vaccinated. They don't want to, they'll say it in the articles, but they really kind of obscure it. But again, okay, let's talk about what's going on in the world right now, because there's just so much happening. Boris Nemtsov was a Russian opposition leader. He was a sharp critic of President Vladimir Putin. He was gunned down on Saturday just outside of the gates of the Kremlin. It was actually captured on CCTV footage. You can see this man. He is walking with a woman, and he's essentially, I think it's a total CIA hit, because essentially they knew where the only camera was filming this thing. They waited until a large car or truck essentially obscured the view of the camera. Somebody hopped out from somewhere and gunned this guy down on the street. But so anyway, he's a 55-year-old former prime minister, deputy prime minister. This whole murder of him has obviously ignited a fury among the opposition figures who hailed or assailed the Kremlin for creating an atmosphere of intolerance of any dissent, and calling the killing an assassination. It was absolutely an assassination. Putin came out, quickly offered his condolences, and called the murder a provocation. So here's where I start getting fuzzy with this whole thing. I'm picking this thing up as a false flag. And the reason, and not just from this article, but okay, as soon as that happened, there was essentially, you know, a large rally in the Kremlin area. Thousands of people pouring onto the streets, obviously, to mourn the loss of Nemtsov. So, but there are some details escaping from this particular rally story suggesting that people were being paid to attend. So as soon as I start hearing about, okay, we've got political opposition in Russia. We, the United States, NATO, we've attempted now to create war with Russia. It was not successful. We shot a plane out of the sky, tried to blame it on Russia, didn't work. You're not going to hear about that black box again. Go ahead and exhale, right? We've tried to make them out to be the bad guy in the Ukraine. We've gone ahead and put people in power in the Ukraine that are more than willing to kill their own countrymen. And we've done everything we can to foment war with Russia. And it has not taken. It hasn't worked. Vladimir Putin has been much smarter than the NATO people as far as I can tell and as far as Rick Rozoff can tell. So what's the next step? what's the next step if you can't get the war going? Well, you start trying to destabilize the country, right? This is pure George Soros, right? You get an NGO, you start destabilizing the country, you start creating opposition, and then you create a false flag where you murder the opposition leader. That's easily pinned now on Putin, and anybody in the street who was pro-opposition is going to be ignited into fury. That's exactly what's going on here. So was it a timely assassination? Absolutely. Do I believe that Putin had anything to do with it? I really don't. I really, really don't. I think the fact that we're seeing instances now that these people at the rallies were being paid 250 rubles to show up, which is not that much money. That's like €3. But again, somebody's paying them to be there. They're trying to, again, create this internal image of unrest. And that's what I think happened here. And this poor gentleman, gunned down in the street, Putin's come out, ordered Russia's top law enforcement chiefs to personally oversee this, the probe into Nemtsov's killing. Putin noted that this cruel murder has all the makings of a contract hit and is extremely provocative. Do you think that, Putin would hire someone to gun down a very popular opposition leader literally on the steps of the Kremlin? Do you really think that's what would happen here? I don't think that's what. So obviously there's somebody who is funding the opposition in this said. Nemtsov said on the radio just a few hours before his death, he was actually criticizing Putin for plunging Russia into the crisis by his quote-unquote mad, aggressive, and deadly policy of war against Ukraine. Where have we heard that rhetoric before? Hey, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko actually called Nemtsov a personal friend and a quote-unquote bridge between the two countries. He said that on his Facebook that he hopes the killers will be punished. So again, you see direct collusion between Poroshenko and Nemtsov, and you've got Nemtsov there in Russia essentially saying the exact same thing that NATO has been saying this whole time. So, you know, is he truly an opposition leader, or is he somebody that, say, I don't know, George Soros and an NGO like that might have given some money to, bolstered, and then paid to do what he's done, only so that they could raise him to a position where they shoot him? I think this is a false flag. I absolutely think it's a false flag, and I hope Russia doesn't fall for it. And I hope the people there are, I really think the people in Russia are a lot smarter than we give them credit to. I think that they know more about 9/11 than we do. So I hope that they are smart enough, to not fall into the trap of, you know, buying into this false flag narrative. Okay. I'm going to do some quick busting through some international news, also relating to Russia. Putin and Egyptian President El-Sisi concluded a preliminary agreement on the construction of the first nuclear power plant in Egypt over the weekend. They are planning on building two of them over there. But again, Egypt and Russia now signing this accord so that Russia can move in on the Egypt territory and start building nuclear power plants. Again, interesting to see the bedfellows that are being created right now. Let's jump over to Israel real quick, bearing in mind also that Netanyahu will be addressing Congress, I believe, at 10:45 in the morning Eastern time tomorrow on C-SPAN. That is the plan as it stands right now. But over in Israel, Israel decided to turn off power to hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. Of course, it is still the dead of winter over there. We've talked about this before. Israel obviously withholding the tax money from the Palestinian government there, and then also demanding at the same time to be paid for the electricity that they're providing. So they couldn't do it because they withheld the money. And so about, I think it's what, we'll say 700,000 Palestinians now in the two largest urban areas now without power. And also, again, bearing in mind it is the dead of winter. We did just have that story the other week about the huge snowstorm that went through Israel, which made them decide they were going to go ahead and open up the truth. I just went over that whole Russian assassination. I'll tell you what, truth be told, hang in here right now because we're going to go. We got a break in a couple minutes and we come back. We got a lot more news to cover, but Jack Blood's going to be on the show, and I imagine that he will have quite a bit of insight on this Russian assassination that went in. But just, so I believe personally that it was a false flag. I think that the people are being paid to go to the rallies now. I think that there is direct collusion somehow between George Soros. I'm not going to be surprised if 5 years from now we find that George Soros had something to do with the popular uprising inside of Russia. Just putting that out there right now. Okay, so we had that story about Israel last week. Big snowstorm. They opened the dams and they flooded out a bunch of Palestinian homes there as well. So that just kind of correlates to the fact that, yes, it is winter there. So now the fact that they're cutting off power to the Palestinians, draconian and cruel. While at the same time, Israel now has come out and asked the United States for an additional $300 million for missile defense. It's funny that the nation of Israel, the fifth largest weapon producer on the planet, just can't seem to get enough money pulled together to get their own missile systems in order. So again, now $300 million now for more missile defenses going to Israel from the United States. Again, we solved this problem months ago. Israel has an Iron Dome. It supposedly keeps everything from coming into the Iron Dome. Give Palestine one, give Gaza Strip one, right? Let's double them up. Let's triple them up, quadruple them up. Let's make them so strong that that rain can't get through them, okay? Let's make them that strong. Put one over each, Israel and Gaza, and then you reverse the polarity so that instead of things not being able to come in, things can't go out. And you take the keys away and you call them and you say, listen, if you guys can get your crap together, we're going to give you 100 years. We'll come address it again then. If you guys have been playing nice, we will give you your keys back. That's how you solve this problem. We use technology. And I'm not saying that there's some authority force out there that's more holy than thou. But again, these people are lobbing bombs and missiles back and forth at each other. Something needs to be done. But anyway, not moving in that grid direction right now because Israel is, again, asking for $300 million in missile defense from the United States. We are, again, their number one supporter. Here's an interesting story. Oh, man, I don't know if I have time to get into this right now. Fallout. We're going to call this fallout. We're going to come back from the break. We'll talk about this fallout because this is actually a pretty big deal. A lot of speculation right now going on between Obama and Iran and these nuclear deals that are supposedly coming to some kind of conclusion and Israel. We had the major SSA cable leak from last week, which has made very apparent the fact that Israel was lying to the, what do you want to call them? The international energy inspectors. What do you want to call it? You know who I'm talking about. It was essentially Israel told them that, they were building stuff and it wasn't true. There's actually a CIA whistleblower who's getting ready to go to jail for about 100 years for the exact same story. So anyway, there's a new leak that has come out regarding Mr. Obama and some plans to potentially come to the aid of Iran. Yeah. Are we surprised by that, given one of his senior advisors was born in Iran? No, we're not surprised by that, ladies and gentlemen. We're not at all, because we stay on the ball around here at Red Pill Reports. That's why you guys are here. We appreciate you guys being here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Okay, before we went to the break, we were talking about all this international news, and I guess I gotta pose the question, how tense do you think the meeting today, between Netanyahu and Obama is gonna be? And don't tell me that they're not gonna shake hands and sit around and chat for a second. I realize that it's tense right now, but the fact that Netanyahu would come all the way from Israel to address Congress and not even, see the president face to face, I don't believe that. So I'm just curious about how tense you think things are there right now, given this is what we call digging for news here, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a report that you're going to find anyplace else. I promise you that. But there was a Bethlehem-based news agency. It's called MAAN, M-A-A-N. And it cited on Saturday a Kuwaiti newspaper. A Kuwaiti newspaper came out with a report this weekend, again, picked up by this Bethlehem paper, which is where I found it, that the U.S. President Barack Obama apparently thwarted an Israeli military attack against Iran's nuclear facilities back in 2014 by threatening to shoot down Israeli jets before they could reach their targets in Iran. Unbelievable. Following Obama's threat, Prime Minister Netanyahu was reportedly forced to abort the planned Iran attack. According to Al Jazeera, the Netanyahu government took the decision to strike Iran sometime in 2014, soon after Israel had discovered that the United States and Iran had been involved in secret talks over Iran's nuclear program and were about to sign an agreement in regard behind Israel's back. That is what has actually happened, ladies and gentlemen. We've got it on pretty good authority that all of those signatures are in ink and done. So wonder what's going to happen to sanctions against Iran coming up here in the future. Anyway, that's a side note. But the report claimed that an unnamed Israeli minister who has very good ties with the U.S. administration revealed the attack plan to the Secretary of State, John Kerry, and that Obama had threatened to shoot down the Israeli jets before they could reach targets in Iran. Al Jazeera quoted well-placed sources saying that Netanyahu, along with ministers of defense Moshe Yaalon and then foreign minister Avigdor Lieberman, had decided to carry out airstrikes against Iran's nuclear program after consultations with top security commanders. And according to that report, Netanyahu and his commanders agreed that after 4 nights of deliberation to task the Israeli army's chief of staff, Benny Gantz, to prepare a qualitative operation against Iran's nuclear program. In addition, Netanyahu and his ministers decided to do whatever they could do to thwart a possible agreement between Iran and the White House because such an agreement is allegedly a threat to Israel's security. Remember also that Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons, and Iran actually did sign on to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel and the United States did not, just putting that out there. The sources added that Gantz and his commanders prepared the requested plan and that Israeli fighter jets trained for several weeks in order to make sure the plans would work successfully. Israeli fighter jets reportedly even carried out experimental flights into Iran's airspace after they managed to break through the radars. Former diplomat Brzezinski, nice guy that guy, who enthusiastically campaigned for Obama in 2008, called on Obama to shoot down Israeli planes if they attacked Iran. He said, they have to fly over our airspace in Iraq. Are we just going to sit here and watch? That's basically what Brzezinski said. Remember, he was a national security advisor to the former president Jimmy Carter. Back in the day, he said this in a interview with the Daily Beast. So again, how tense do you think the situation is right now between Obama I remember again, his one of his senior advisors, an Iranian national. So I think that they are working really hard to get out from under Israel and the, you know, with those cable leaks that we had last week saying essentially that Israel had tried to make it look as if Iran was developing weapons. There's another story, too. I won't get into it today, but there's a CIA whistleblower who essentially was given bad blueprints for creating a nuclear bomb by the CIA, and he was asked to then steward them over to Israel. And anyway, he came out and said that that was something that he was involved with, and it was a bad deal, and now he's being threatened with about 100 years in jail for being a CIA whistleblower. Anyway, that's what's going on there. We'll come back to some more stuff here. Also, an Egyptian court this weekend declared Hamas as a terrorist organization. Just happened on Saturday, further isolating the rulers of the Gaza Strip, who once found a warm and welcome under the country's past Islamist government. But the ruling by Judge Mohammed al-Sayed of the Court for Urgent Matters described Hamas as targeting both civilians and security forces inside Egypt's restive Sinai Peninsula and aiming also to harm the country. Sinai has been under increasing attack by the Islamic extremists since the Egyptian military ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi back in 2013 at the request of us. Just saying. Anyway. So, Hamas now considered to be a terrorist organization by Egypt. Egypt, who just signed a nuclear development deal with Russia. Russia, big support of Iran. Iran potentially being attacked by Israel I mean, how far deep does this thing go? I'm just trying to work my mind through all this garbage right now, guys, because there are so many strange bedfellows being created. And we're not even in South America yet. Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro announcing mandatory visa requirements for all Americans visiting the country from this point forward. He also called to review and downsize the number of U.S. embassy staff at Caracas. He says, in order to protect our country, I decided to implement a system of compulsory visas for all Americans entering Venezuela. This is a reciprocal measure, and now all Americans will have to pay tourist fees and duty fees equal to what a Venezuelan has to pay to travel to the United States. When announcing these new regulations for U.S. tourists, Maduro said that Venezuela has apprehended American citizens who were involved in espionage activities. Say it isn't so. I think it's also important to note that former President George Bush, former Vice President Dick Cheney, and Republican Congress members Lentian and Menendez and Rubio will all be denied visas into the country, and they also go as far as labeling Bush and Cheney as terrorists. Travel bans, Maduro said, target those who violated human rights and bombed villages in Iraq, Syria, and Vietnam. Interesting that he did not mention in there Laos, little country of Laos. I watched a very amazing documentary about Laos last weekend. Do you guys know that's the most bombed country ever in the history of modern warfare? That we, the United States, dropped more bombs on Laos than we did on Germany and Japan combined during World War II? I had no idea. And what a beautiful country. We essentially, and it really wasn't us, it really wasn't even the military, it was the CIA, had to do with their whole Air America program. and people want to talk about the drug war and CIA not having a place in it, and I would, you know, go look at Laos. Go to Laos and tell those people that the CIA didn't have an interest in the drug war. And, man, I'll tell you what. Anyway, Maduro could have mentioned Laos in this particular case, when citing Bush and Cheney as terrorists, but, he didn't on that one. But anyway, now on, U.S. diplomats will be required to seek approval from the foreign ministry for meetings they conduct in Venezuela. So again, Maduro throwing down the gauntlet, saying, no more USA in Venezuela. And you know what? Can't really say I blame him. The war against ISIS still heating up. Moving forward, United States has now expedited about $17.9 million worth of armaments, ammunition, and other military supplies back to the Iraqi government, according to a Pentagon announcement late last week. Interesting that this time only took 22 days, which is about a quarter of the time it would normally take to get all this stuff over there. So they went from 22 days, time of the signature, letter of authorization, until actual delivery in Iraq. So less than a quarter of the amount of time it would normally take. So again, a lot of international people stepping up finally, sick of ISIS. Did I watch Citizen 4 over the weekend? Truth, I did not. Was Citizen 4, is that the Snowden, video that just won at Sundance? I have not seen that yet. Darn it. I will try and find a copy of that. Thank you for reminding me, because I do need to watch that, and I haven't actually seen it yet. And we'll end on kind of a happy note here. not really a happy note if you're in Uruguay, but the Uruguay president, Jose Pepe Mujica, who is a former guerrilla and lives on a farm, gives most of his salary away to charity. He is stepping down after 5 years in office. He's ending his term as one of the world's most popular leaders ever. He is 79 years old. He's leaving office with a 65% approval rating, and he is constitutionally prohibited from serving consecutive terms, which is why he is leaving. Let's see. He says he has succeeded in putting Uruguay back on the map. He managed to turn the cattle ranching country, which is home to 3.4 million people, into an energy exporting nation, Brazil being Uruguay's top export market, followed by China, Argentina, Venezuela, and the United States. But Uruguay's $55 billion economy has grown an average of 5.7% annually since 2005, according to the World Bank. And Uruguay has also maintained its decreasing trend of public debt to GDP ratio from 100% in 2003 to 60% by 2014. It has also managed to decrease the cost of debt and reduce dollarization from 80% to 50% this year. So again, he goes on to say, we've had very positive years for equality. 10 years ago, about 39% of Uruguayans live below the poverty line, and we brought that down to under 11%, and they've reduced extreme poverty from 5% down to 0.5%. And after Latin America's anti-drug war proved a failure, the South American country became the first in the world to fully legalize marijuana, with Mujica arguing that drug trafficking is in fact more dangerous than marijuana itself. He is a former leftist guerrilla leader. He spent 13 years in jail during the years of Uruguay's military dictatorship. He survived torture, endless months in solitary confinement. He says he has never regretted his time in jail because he believes it helped shape his character. His kindness speaks volume. He refused to move to Uruguay's luxurious presidential mansion, and he chooses to live in a farm outside of Montevideo with his wife and his three-legged dog named Manuela. Pepe gives away about 90% of his salary to charity, saying he simply just does not need it. He drives a 1987 Volkswagen Beetle. Last year, I did a report that Mujica turned down a $1 million offer from an Arab sheik who offered to buy his 1987 Volkswagen Beetle, and Pepe refused to sell the vehicle, saying it would offend all of the friends that he had who pooled money together to buy the vehicle for him in the first place. I gotta say though, if anybody ever offers you $1 million for a 1987 Volkswagen Beetle, you say yes. That's bottom line. Little tip from your Uncle JD here. And then anyway, and also in January, a young Uruguayan man posted a message on his Facebook recounting about how Mujica and his wife picked him up while he was hitchhiking. So I tell you, the world is losing a quality leader. Hopefully it will just be the term of his, not being able to run for office again. Hopefully he'll take a little time off and then come back. He is 79 years old though, but man, they've turned Uruguay around. I'll say that for sure. Okay, I'm not going to get into the economic stuff because there's a lot of American news to cover here. Pardon me. Just a little heads up reminder. Also, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be addressing the joint meeting of Congress that is still scheduled for tomorrow, Tuesday morning, March 3rd, 10:45 a.m. Eastern on C-SPAN. I will be busy, and I would rather staple my face to the carpet, just to say. We had that whole impending Department of Homeland Security shutdown that was supposedly going to happen on Friday. Well, good news is it didn't get shut down on Friday. The bad news is that Congress is pretty much dysfunctional, right? Or what's the opposite of progress? Well, it's Congress. So anyway, they essentially kicked the can down the road for an entire week. So we are right now in the midst again of another make-it-or-break-it week for us. The funding is scheduled to run out again for Department of Homeland Security this Friday night at midnight. I'm sure the idiots are going to be doing idiotic things because idiots are going to idiot, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of idiots, hey, cat, what are you doing? Hey! Sorry, my cat's messing around with the blinds. And I don't want him doing that. Okay, anyway, not that my cat's an idiot. He's actually much smarter than most people that I know. The feds, earlier this month, I wanted to talk about this too. In a deliberate show of force, federal and local police forces raided a political meeting in Texas, fingerprinting and photographing all attendees and as well as confiscating all cell phones and personal recording devices. There were members of the Republic of Texas, which is a secession movement dedicated to restoring Texas as an independent constitutional republic. It had gathered February 14th in Bryan, Texas, at a meeting hall along with a bunch of public onlookers. My cat is orange. obsidian, bright orange and big and fluffy. He's a Maine Coon. I thought I had a picture of him on the site someplace. We'll see if I can get one up there. Okay, anyway, they met in Bryan, Texas. They were debating issues about currency, international regulations, celebrating the birthday of one of their oldest members, and the group describes itself as a congenial and unimposing. They maintain a small working government. They include official currency, Congress, and courts. According to MySanAntonio.com, minutes into the meeting, a man among the onlookers stood and moved to open the hall door, letting an armed and armored force of the Bryan Police Department, the Brazos County Sheriff's Office, the Kerr County Sheriff's Office, agents of the Texas District Attorney and Texas Rangers and the FBI. So in the end, at least 20 officers corralled, searched, and fingerprinted all 60 meeting attendees before seizing all cell phones and recorded equipment on Valentine's Day 2015 raid on this Texas separatist group. So anyway, the pretext of the raid was that two individuals from the group had reportedly sent out simulated court documents, summonses for a judge and a banker to appear before the Republic of Texas to discuss the matter of a foreclosure. Completely legal. Completely lawful, I should say. These quote-unquote simulated documents were rejected by the authorities, and the authorities decided to react with a show of force. Again, 20 officers and an extremely broad search warrant. The invalid court summons was signed by Susan Kamick, who is a Kerr County homeowner, and David Krupa, who is a Republic of Texas judge from Harris County. The search warrant against the Republic of Texas authorized the seizure of all computers, media storage software, cell phones, public paper documents, things like that, according to the Kerr County Sheriff there. And he says the seized devices will not all be downloaded and reviewed to determine if others conspired in the creation and issuance of these false documents. So false documents. That's what they're saying, because these people are not idiots. They're smart. They recognize that there's a corporate structure to the government, and they're trying to do something about it. We've all tried to do something about it here, and these people are doing exactly what is lawfully expected of them. So now they're all going to be arrested potentially for, you know, fraud, because they're saying that these legal documents, because these legal documents don't correlate to the bar, you know, the British Accreditation Registration. This whole concept of maritime courts, and it's not fake, guys. It's absolutely real. And that's why they sent freaking the FBI and Texas Marshals after these people, because they need to scare the crap out of people like this that are smart enough to realize what is going on. And now these people are fingerprinted. They're on a list. They're heading, you know, they're on a list just like I am, for standing up and fighting for what is right and what is real. And reality is not what they're trying to tell us that it is. And these people now, you know, pretending that the documents were, how do you simulate a document? You know, why are your words on a piece of paper worth more than my words on a piece of paper? Explain to me where you get the authority to make an assertion like that, because I'm not buying it. I don't buy it at all. The fact that you have a gun, no, that doesn't really do it for me. The fact that you have a badge that you could buy on eBay, no, that doesn't really do it for me either. We fought a war in this country, and if we hadn't fought a war, if we didn't fight a war in this country about consent of the governed, if that's not what the Revolutionary War was about, and I know there's a lot of people out there that say it wasn't what it was about, it's just another you know, trick to hand oaths over to the Queen of England and the courts and all that nonsense. If it wasn't what it was about, well, we damn well better have one soon, because I'm so sick and tired of municipal laws and these policy enforcers. They killed a homeless guy in L.A. I wasn't even going to bring this up because I don't have the article up. Shot a homeless guy in L.A. point blank range on video yesterday. It's disgusting. These people are disgusting. And the society that we live in is disgusting, and I'm really ready for it to be over. And I completely want to support the Republic of Texas, these poor guys that are doing the right thing, getting stomped on by people with bigger guns than theirs. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Okay, moving on. Oh, green tip bullets selling out all over the darn place. The state of Alaska, out of green tip bullets. So if you live in Alaska, you're looking for 5.56, well, too bad, so sad. Obviously everybody reacting to the ATF's plan to, try and change some legislation to make it, outlawed. Essentially, they're trying to outlaw the old 5.56 steel bullets. So lots of them being sold right now. If you want some, now would be a good time to probably go out and get them because the numbers are up about 300% day over day versus last year in terms of those 556. Someone asking me in the chat room about Lois Lerner and her lost emails. Well, they were discovered, apparently, part of the group of people that's investigating all that. I think they went over 747 reel-to-reel tapes that they had found. Okay, so on those particular tapes, I'm trying to remember, I think there were like 13,000 emails between Lois Lerner and, you know, Satan or whoever it is that she's talking to. And, a lot of those did very quickly, you know, point in the direction of the old White House, Mr. Not a Smidgen of Corruption. But apparently last week, later on in the week, they found another, I think, 474, tapes. So they're going to be looking for more emails, but, I think that announcement actually happened on Friday and they actually did, or it happened late Friday night and late Friday night at about midnight. The people who are responsible for this investigation is, we're now using the word criminal. There's definitely some criminal intent going on. And still, how much money did she make last year as retention bonuses or for the 3 or 4 years that she was there past her retirement age? Like $140,000 just on the top in bonuses while at the same time she's using the IRS as a weapon to stifle political dissent. It's just disgusting. Not a smidgen of corruption. Not a smidgen of corruption. Might be a good reason to buy 556 ammo, though. I don't know. Didn't hear that from me. Montana State House passes a bill to ban Common Core. It's moving on to higher ups in the state right now. But again, the pushback on a state level still seeming to be moving forward. Rand Paul won the CPAC poll this year. I don't know if anybody cares about that. I have a lot of trouble supporting Rand Paul because he's of his Israel stance. He still thinks that we still need to be supporting the fifth largest weapons manufacturer in the world, criminal organization there, Zionist. And, he's way on board with those guys. So I have a lot of trouble. But anyway, people at CPAC didn't seem to have trouble supporting him. Also, a couple of other big polls that came out of CPAC. Most of the people there supported national legalization of marijuana. And I'm only bringing that up because it was literally the first thing that they said, that was in addition to, you know, their support for Mr. Rand Paul. And, what else? There was one other thing. Amnesty immigration thing. They don't support that. Obviously, I mean, that's what you would expect. Why can't he be more like Ron? Exactly. I mean, the apple fell a little too far from the tree as far as I'm concerned. That's a good call. It's the same reason I don't like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz comes out, says all kinds of great things. Who's standing behind Ted Cruz? Heidi Cruz. What does Heidi Cruz do? Well, she's in charge of the Southwest region for Goldman Sachs. She handles more derivatives than any of us. She's got more money than any of us are ever going to see. What do you think they talk about at dinner? You know, you think they're sending our country off in the right direction? Not a chance. Here's a little good news out of Missouri. I don't know if we've talked about Jeff Mazansky a few times. He is in Missouri prison without parole because he had 3 marijuana offenses, even though the 3-strike rule has been since repealed. Jay Nixon still refuses to address this one particular case of a grandfather with nonviolent tendencies and obviously a record of nonviolent crimes going to spend the rest of his life in jail. So somebody's finally stepped up here in the state of Missouri and it's introduced a bill. This is Republican State Representative Shame Dogan, and I really, really like it. He is literally crafting an entire legislative bill just specifically to get Jeff Mazansky out. He is making all the rules change, but he is making all the criteria of the rule changes fit exactly Jeff Mazansky's situation. So hopefully they can get this through. Again, Jay Nixon, you piece of human, you troglodyte, you need to just get this guy out of jail. This is stupid. I mean, Jay Nixon could have called this guy and gotten this done with a phone call and decided not to. So it looks like we're going to have to do some legislation to get this poor guy out of jail. Again, dragging our feet on drive me crazy. Okay, Judge Napolitano agreeing with all of our statements last week that these 3 ISIS suspects that were arrested in New York, obviously all under the control of the FBI. Probably don't need to go much further into that, but again, it's nice when the judge can back me up on things that I'm saying. Talking about the economics, what's going on, right, meow? Wow, Dow is way up today, up 115 points. More than a half a percent. That is 18,248 on the Dow. Dollar index is up right now. I really messed up today. I should have gotten further into the economic stuff here, and you guys are going to miss a big story here, so just bear with me here. Let's see. The Dow is up. S&P is up. What's commodities? Gold is down just a little bit. 1208 for gold. 1654 for silver. And I think, let's see, Bitcoin actually up a little bit today, 255. The euro down, bringing me to my point here. Spectacular developments in Austria. Austria. Okay. They have a bail-in bank there. They established a bank to deal with all of the negative derivatives that were at all the other banks. Okay. So they funneled all this stuff, all this bad stuff into a bank there in Austria. And it was called the Hypo Alpe Adria Bad Bank. That's what they're called. Also known as the HEDA Asset Resolution. Well, on Sunday night, they exposed the fact that they are in a hole 7.6 billion euros. What happened as soon as that happened? Well, we'll go back to the indices. Euro to dollar trading right now at 1.11. Can you say Euro doom on? And I'll tell you what, Austria, let's throw another bank on the bobby. Okay, that's a bad joke, but it's funny, and somebody out there is laughing right now. But Austria, I went to a map, I looked it up, it's right in the middle of Europe. Did you guys, I mean, like, literally, right in the middle of Europe. So can you spell contagion? Are we going to see some contagion? Am I looking at contagion right now when the euro is down from 113 to 111 today? Yeah, I think that's what we're dying. That's what we're seeing right now. I want to go back to what was the dollar index up? Oh, what's the dollar doing right now? Well, dollar index up above 95 right now, 95 and 46. Wow. So what's going to happen in Europe today? I wonder. I'm not over looking at the Greek market, but I know that there is still capital flight happening from Greece right now, I would imagine. BDI, I was just going to say that, Truth. You're all over it. I'm looking at 540. Your BDI number is better than mine. To 548. So again, Chinese New Year coming to an end this year. So we're going to see the BDI come up a little bit. I think that's what we're going to see. No, so the BDI is actually up again today. I was looking at about a 1.3%, but the number that Truth is showing me right now at 548 is closer to about 1.4%. So yeah, Baltic Dry moving up. We're starting to move some goods around again because China's not on vacation anymore. Is it, hard to see that connection? I don't think so. Anyway, this Austrian bank is going to be a big deal. Everybody was wondering, obviously, who the first big casualty of the SMB currency peg failure was going to be. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. It is the Hypo Alpe Adria Bank in Austria. And you wonder what they're going to do now. Are they going to have to create an even badder bad bank? Are we going to see the birth of where I don't have enough bees in my head to make all that work in my mind. So that's what's going on there. Lots more news. Couldn't get to you guys. I hate to say it. Oh, we're going to have less audits this year from the IRS. That's a good sign. Anyway, moving on. We're going to go to this break. When we come back, Jack Blood will be on the show. We have lots of stuff to talk about. Appreciate you guys being here. Love having you guys in the chat room. Get your questions ready. It's going to be good times, guys. We'll be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, our universal journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hate, no hype, no fear. We are TFR Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Thank you also for being in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. It is a fantastic place for you guys to talk to other listeners, talk to me. You'll be able to talk to the guest today. And today is not a guest that you're going to want to miss, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this is one of my personal heroes out in the world, and I'm very, very excited to be welcoming him to the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the one and only Jack Blood is going to be joining us today. You can find his websites at radiofreeblood.com. His other website is deadlinelive.info. He does a radio show there as well. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, many years of research, and Jack Blood is kind of an information aggregation guru as far as I'm concerned. More even that, like an internet information aggregation guru. The man can bring things together from a very wide perspective. He's got a very serious understanding of how the global elite are planning on running the show from here on out. He gets the doublespeak, the Orwellian doublespeak that we get from the media. He understands the groupthink mentality that the mainstream media is trying to force on all of us. Just does more out there as far as actually understanding what is going on than most people in the world, ladies and gentlemen. He understands police state, globalism, all kinds of things, war on drugs, culture jamming. We're going to be talking about all kinds of different things today. He's also done many, many radio stations, syndicated radio networks. He's in print media, network and cable TV. He's got YouTube videos out, documentary videos. He's been on all kinds of very, very important programs. And so it is in that vein that we are welcoming him today. Jack Blood, thank you very much for joining us on the program today, sir.
Thanks for having me, JD. I almost became a fan of myself in that. Very, very nice to know that I do all that stuff. Thank you.
Well, man, you're a rock star. I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. Very excited to have you here. Very excited to have your insight because, again, you're one of these guys that doesn't really kind of beat around the bush with stuff. You really understand fundamentally that we are in a major, major crisis mode right now. We've got forces of evil, if you want to call them that, basically descending on us from all sides. And it doesn't seem like a day goes by without some relatively significant geopolitical or economic development these days. I mean, the world just seems to be on a fast track right now. And I've asked other guests about this particular development before, but I wanted to get your insight on it. Just given everything that's kind of happened in the last couple of weeks, I was really of the opinion that the most important geopolitical event that's gone down was Kim Jong-un's new haircut. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, or as we like to call it, Monday, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that and the dress that went viral on the internet. I'll tell you, it's so amazing for me, JD. I mean, if we just had the, I guess, resources of the person that posted the blue dress.
Is it blue? Have we decided that already?
Yeah, I don't even care.
I don't either. I
wondered if that was some kind of a psychological beta test.
Yes. Oh, it has to be. I mean, I don't know the framework of it. Like, I have literally avoided it like the plague. So I guess I'm only, I'm basing this on conjecture, but I assume there's a video of a dress and people are they don't understand what color it is or something to that effect. I don't get it. I didn't want to waste my time.
It's the most important dress since Monica Lewinsky,
right?
I'd probably say. But yeah, so I guess that's the internet that we know. That's the internet that people are defending and pretty much gave up defense of by letting the FCC take them over here this week. I love that one. That Obama and the FCC, Tom Wheeler, head of the FCC, former lobbyist for the telecoms, are doing something to save us from the telecoms. And this is the one mantra that I constantly repeat on my shows. All laws and regulations are selectively enforced.
Yes.
So what that means is the biggest companies, and this is all in light of the FCC approving a massive merger between Comcast, they're going to Pac-Man and buy up Time Warner, which bought up AOL. So they're going to become the biggest, largest cable service provider in the history of the country, in the history of the world. They're just going to be getting bigger and bigger all the time. I don't think they're going to suffer. In fact, after net neutrality, they already started charging my family. We have no choice because they have a monopoly here in Atlanta, Georgia, where I live, JD. Right. So already they're starting to charge us to see things that they didn't charge us the 2 days before, and this isn't even supposed to take effect.
Are you serious?
For several months. So we're already seeing kind of the after effects of that. But the moral to the story is it isn't so much Orwell's 1984, where we're constantly being stomped on by a boot, you know, to the face forever and ever, where they have to use violence in order to coerce us into behaving. It's more Brave New World, where in the future we'll all be begging for our own slavery. So Huxley was right, in my humble opinion. We'll all be drugged to the gills and begging for our own slavery. We love it.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up drugged to the gills, because I read a report last week that said Health and Human Services looking to roll mandatory vaccination into Obamacare. And you can only imagine the leverage that that's going to create in that system. And then getting back to your earlier statement of, you know, think of how much these lobbyist groups make. I think it's like 200-1 for every dollar they spend in Washington, they get $200 back. So is it a, you know, is it, are we surprised that there's a revolving door between the telecom communications and the FCC? No.
No, I'm surprised that people think that just when Michael Taylor went to be the food czar at the FDA, a lot of people, especially people on the left, we're saying, oh, this is a massive conflict of interest because he was a lobbyist for Monsanto, and this guy's never going to give us a break, and let's just don't believe anything he says. But somehow Tom Wheeler, who did the same thing except, you know, add in the telecom company, somehow he's some kind of a savior and a hero.
Right.
So obviously there's some major cognitive dissonance going on there. And by the way, vaccinations have been legally forced upon people for almost 100 years now. It passed Congress 100 years ago, if you can follow that one, JD, and it was always intended to be part of Obamacare.
Right. Well, and I think that's, but it's so funny though, because there were so many people who were labeled, conspiracy theorists saying, oh, you know, this Obamacare, it's going to have mandatory vaccines in it. And if you don't get them, they're going to be able to withhold your medical care. And then you go look at the HSS and they're like, well, if you don't get vaccines, we're going to be able to withhold your medical care. Like in print, you know, it's basically validating everything that the conspiracy theorists were yeah. concerned about.
That's always the case, isn't it? I mean, yeah. So where's our apologies? I always say, hey, come and apologize for me now. I mean, but here's the idea. Right. If we would have said 10 years ago that the future president, who will be cousins with the Bushes and the Clintons and the first black president, et cetera, will be using flying death robots on citizens around the world, you'd have called me absolutely nutty, crazy, paranoid. I'm off my medication. I need to, you know, stop living in my mother's basement.
Yeah, I mean, that's Star Trek stuff.
The whole thing.
Death robots. Come on.
They'll play the Twilight Zone music. Oh, you crazy conspiracy theorist. And yet that's exactly what's happening.
That's where
right
we're
now.
At. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to get into some real news then, because obviously over this weekend, the opposition leader in Russia was murdered. I looked at this situation and immediately, well, not immediately, as soon as I read the other article talking about the rallies that were blossoming in the streets as a result of this opposition leader's death, and a lot of those opposition rally people were apparently being paid to attend. And when I see paid to attend and a rally and opposition leader, I start thinking George Soros, and I start thinking, hey, here we are destabilizing or trying to continuously destabilize Russia because we couldn't get them to bite into war. But I'm definitely interested in what's your take on the murder of this opposition leader? Do you, I mean, where are we at with this whole war with Russia situation, man, because it looks like we're hedging our bets towards war right now pretty staunchly.
Well, they'll at least want you to think that, because just the thought of a new Cold War, or just to prevent World War III, or to get the evil empire, which is no longer a communist empire, you know, the people will get behind that and the usual suspects. You know, all wars are bankers' wars. I'm sure you've heard that one, JD. So the usual suspects in the military, security, industrial complex will flourish as usual. With Nemtsov, it's just too convenient of timing. The last thing I think that Putin or the leaders of Russia would want to be under a microscope like this. So I've talked to several people, including my friend who was in Russia. That's Daniel Estulin, whose father was ex-KGB.
Right.
And he says there's no way that this came out of Washington. Now, obviously, we can make these blanket statements. By the way, the mainstream media does this all the time, folks. So let's not give them any preferential treatment. You know, so without any actual evidence, how can we prove a negative? We would need to see actual evidence that could be free from the chain of command of Washington and the usual suspects in order to pin this on Putin. But people are very happy to do. And as you say, the color revolution astroturfers are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at the Litvinenko poisoning, and a lot of people fell for that one too. And there's also a lot of empirical evidence that says that Putin and Russia didn't do that, that they didn't kill their own Russian spy, that that was done by the British and hung around Putin's neck like a burning tire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the timing of this is just very odd, in particular, because there's not just a war for territory. There's just not a war in the newspapers and all the rest of it. There is an economic war going on, and that's really what's at stake here, JD. So that's
I agree.
That we have to always keep our eye on. China and Russia, going back to 1984, what was the mantra? Oceania is always at war with Eurasia. So that's pretty much what we have. And they actually, the UN's name for us here is actually Oceania. You can find it in text.
Is it really?
That is true.
I did not know that. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, that if that isn't about just as leading as it could possibly be, I don't know what else could be.
It's pretty simple, too. You crack the world into two halves, and the two halves have to assemble together. And then once the fighting and the death and the poverty has gotten a little old and everybody has extracted the last dollar and gotten all the new resources, then they'll be making the case that this is too bad for the people and we need to unite into one world.
Right.
So to divide it into two is a huge step up from 192, if you follow me.
So
it does, you know, kind of put us into this Oceania, always at war with Eurasia, and finally, you know, with enough Goldstein attacks, there will be the excuse to unify into one world, which will happen long before they tell us.
Do you think it'll be at the guise of an economic crisis, or do you think it'll be like a nuclear bomb or EMP? What do you think is going to be the trigger mechanism?
Oh, they'll take people's Facebook away for 2 days.
Oh, my God.
it probably won't take much.
That would do it. I'll tell you, there was an article last year of Facebook going down in L.A., and they had so many calls to the sheriff department in L.A. that they actually had to tweet people that they weren't responsible. They got like 10,000 calls in, I think, a 4 or 5 hour period when Facebook went down. And they had to kind of come out and just be like, listen, it's Facebook. Go outside. We don't have any responsibility for this. But I'll tell you what. There's probably not anything they could do to incite more panic than to drop Facebook off the face of the earth for a day or two.
Well, that's why, you know, what we're seeing now, this constant hype about a cyber attack and cyber warriors and hackers. And, you know, we saw that whole Stratfor hack. That was actually an FBI hack with their man on the inside, kind of like World Trade Center 1993. It was kind of an FBI sting operation, and that's why we didn't get a lot of great information from that. But if you notice the people that are coming in, they all have these massive cybersecurity backgrounds. The new Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, who predicted 9/11. How did he know that? and Loretta Lynch, who just passed through the committee, and she'll be the new Attorney General. She's, by the way, right out of the Federal Reserve of New York. That's good experience, I would think, to be the Attorney General, the top cop in America. Both Holder and Lynch were massive protectorates for global banks and for giant corporations at Global Corp. So they have those feathers in their hat as well, that people are going to know that they won't go down under these people, that they're bought and paid for in this dog and pony show. But they all have cybersecurity backgrounds. And we saw that whole North Korea Sony hack, which, by the way, never happened and doesn't stop the State Department from still rattling our cages with it. So everything seems to be getting closer and closer to what we've been calling the Internet Pearl Harbor, the iPearl Harbor, or the i-9-11. And this is brilliant, because if something like that happens to infrastructure, or the Internet goes down because of hackers, or they just tell us, you know, that bombs went off, a nuclear weapon got launched because somebody hacked into it, they could tell us anything, and there's no way we could really prove it, because we don't have the forensic ability to go in and see where the fingerprints are. We just have to totally believe them. There's not going to be any smoking buildings or anything this time, JD. Mm-hmm. And just like after 9/11, they already have the Internet Patriot Act already written, which has been reported for years at some very high levels from Silicon Valley. So this is probably, you know, the big one. That's the big one that's going to come next. And I'll tell you, like we just said, if people lose their internet for a little while, if they can't access their internet tokens, aka money, whatever it is, it's going to cause a tidal wave of support for whatever the solution provided is going to be.
Meaning what?
Oh, that would, whatever solution is going to be, the Internet Patriot Act, overwhelmingly will go through. Anyone that doesn't have the protective code, for instance, this is kind of what net neutrality is also doing. What's slowing down the Internet? The Internet is a utility now. You can't just be out, you know, selling your own water by the side of the road when there's a water company. So right. Everything has to be, you know, absolutely regulated. But what they can do is they can look at your side or my side and say that the code somehow has a virus in it and it has to be taken down.
Uh-huh.
And so the laws for the Internet will be very similar as applied to humans walking.
Well, we might have lost Jack there.
Cyber side of things. Yeah, yep. So it will completely take control of, now that we're all completely weaned on and we depend on the Internet for information, for work, for our finances, for education, for healthcare, for everything else, it will be completely taken over and controlled, and only the good people, only the people with the tax ID numbers, only the people who are documented, only the people who are good slaves will be able to participate in the level that we see we can today.
Right. Wow. I think you're right, man, and I think they're preparing to steal the money. I think, what do you know about banking rules that have changed lately, where, you know, we're basically supposed to be off the hook for bail-ins now in terms of the American population? I mean, did they change something now recently that says that, you know, the banks are not supposed to be investing our savings and, we're not supposed to be on the hook as investors? Or have they changed that now to where we're essentially on the hook as investors no matter how much money we have in the banks? I'm kind of fuzzy on what's going
on. You were never covered for however much money you have in the bank.
Right.
And that's why most people of elite status don't keep their money in banks. That's why now Yellen and the European banks are punishing people for saving and rewarding people for borrowing. So you were never really covered. I think that's a bit of an illusion. You know, you're covered up to $250,000 allegedly, and then the rest of it over and above that. Look, I mean, they can take your wealth anywhere. We saw that in the subprime meltdown of 2007 and 2008, right? They can just take all your property. If they decide to double, triple, quadruple property taxes and people can't afford to pay that, then they're just going to take people's houses. If there is a massive correction in the stock market, which will come in the last year of a presidency, it always does, then people get corrected out of their 401ks. So, you know, creating a bubble to enlarge the wealth, to get people in on the wealth machine, and then stealing that wealth every 10, 20, 30 years is certainly what's going to happen. It's a pretty good little nest egg, and I don't see them wanting to change that too much, but as far as we being on the hook, we're on the hook all the way.
Okay.
I mean, every country is on the hook for the loans that they're taking. And the loans we're taking, we're handing over to the discount window to Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and Chase and Citi and let's call them Wall Street if you want. These, by the way, the member banks that own the Federal Reserve, which isn't federal and has no reserves.
Right.
$50 billion a month, man, going right, no interest, that they can loan out multiple times with fractional reserve lending.
Uh-huh.
So that's the policy, and this is when you see Obama getting up and saying, hey, the economy's never been better, I saved the economy. That's what he means. Though we are now on the hook for $1 trillion in bond payments, right?
Right.
Every year before we start doing the budget, we're down $1 trillion. Did I say a billion? I get confused.
Oh, you said a trillion. That's just, they're all crazy numbers though. I mean, doesn't matter really.
Ten years ago, that was only like 250 billion.
Right.
I mean, only, right?
Right.
It's 300%, or right? That's a 300%?
Yeah. That's like it would be a rounding error. 250 billion today, you know, for their sheets.
Right. So, I mean, that's the game. And this right now, what we're seeing, if we're talking about money, we are in the biggest bond bubble in human history, one that is not even possibly imagined maybe 20 or 30 years ago. And, you know, we're going to have to pay the toll at some point for that. And when we can't pay, of course, we default and all of the resources and whatnot go to the usual suspects. That's how it works in third world countries with the IMF, the World Bank, and others, and I don't see it any different here.
Right. Well, yeah, we're essentially third world now. I want to talk a little bit then about, you know, there's some theories out there about blood moons and the Shemitah year and the 7-year cycles and things like that, and I'm wondering if you've delved into any of that and if you're feeling anything, you know, if your hair is starting to rise up a little bit thinking about September of this year.
Well, not so much, only that the elites love to use these calling cards. They do hang a lot of what they do and when they do it on certain days with certain signs. And it's definitely something to think about, though they don't always follow it. And there are new days and new calling cards that they're using. Suffice to say, they usually always tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
Right.
It's kind of a Freemasonic thing, like a cremating your care kind of a deal.
Mm.
But I wouldn't, it's like, you know, people got very hung up on every drill that was happening because every drill can go live, but there's drills every day. So you can't sit and hide under your bed every day.
That's true.
I'll be the first to admit I'm not the biggest expert on this, though I have studied it.
I just find it to be really interesting. And then you talk about how they kind of broadcast their intentions, and you kind of got to go back to Christine Lagarde's goofy numerology talk that she did last year, about the sevens and things like that. And it's just a lot of weird stuff going on, but since you brought up that whole, the idea that the elite like to broadcast stuff to us, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I've seen a couple of really good shows lately. Someone recommended Sleepy Hollow to me as having a lot of like Masonic kind of symbolism and stuff in it. I was watching a show called Utopia from the UK, which I think if you haven't seen it, holy cow, it's only 2 seasons. They yanked it off the air right in the middle. I think it was getting a little close to the bone specifically about some of the agenda type stuff. But what, have you seen anything recently that you've noted and said, whoa, I think they're telling us something with this specific show or with this, anything like that?
Well, you see it all the time. Once you learn this stuff, it's everywhere. And that shouldn't stop you from enjoying art or literature or what have you. But because I think sometimes people lock into it even subconsciously. And just to give you an example, I have some ink on me, distinguishing marks, as I call them. Thanks. I got sucked into that one, too.
Right.
And my first one was the all-seeing eye, you know, and it's not because I'm part of a, you know, Egyptian secret society conspiracy. It's just because I saw it everywhere and I copied it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you're going to see stuff like that. Sometimes the elites love that and they write it in and they make sure it's in there. But I got to tell you, let me go somewhere completely different with it.
Okay.
House of Cards, the new season just up now.
Mm-hmm.
Very revealing about politics. In fact, when Ted Cruz was, I could say a lot about him. Just mentioning
his, right ahead,
makes me want to like go on a rant. But
yeah.
But Ted Cruz was asked at CPAC here just the other day if he watches House of Cards. He goes, I'm going to binge watch that. I watch them all. And it's so revealing about how corrupt politics are, the murdering bastards that they are. And you know, he actually said the only difference is they asked him, is House of Cards, is it a lot like Washington? Just totally corrupt. And, you know, people being murdered. He goes, no, we don't murder as many people as not that we don't murder anyone. We don't murder as many people as they do in House of Cards. So that was really good. And then if you want to find out about Chicago politics, Boss, you can go in and watch it on Netflix. And there's about 2 or 3 seasons with Kelsey Grammer. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable how much they're telling you how politics works in these things. And I think at some point they're trying to condition us to be completely cynical and apathetic, and I try not to fall for that, JD. I try to stay optimistic, and I try to keep the troops rallied and people doing things, even little things in their community, because you can make a change. But as far as national politics and politics in general, this is why half of the voting public doesn't vote. This is why you only need 26% of the population to win a national election and be president, where Bush or Clinton will be the next people running again, as we predicted years ago. So sometimes these things are conditioning you, but if you take them in the spirit of which they can be taken, House of Cards and Boss, man, those are great shows. It really, really shows you, just to give you one example, in this new season, they're passing a new deal. The president who is Kevin Spacey in House of Cards, who got there through the most nefarious means possible. I mean, the guy's just the biggest backstabbing slime ball that there ever was. He's the president now. And the first thing he does is to get himself some credibility and to, you know, make sure he's going to be president for several terms. He puts together like an Obamacare. And he doesn't care about the people. They don't care one lick about the people and who it's going to help. That's what they say in front of the cameras. Behind the scenes, they want to use this as power and leverage. That's why they want it. And they'll do anything. They'll make any compromise. They'll say and do anything. They'll kill anyone to put that through. And those kind of parables or comparisons are, I think they're very helpful and for people that want to understand how this all works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to check that out. Someone told me in the chat room that it's available on Netflix. So I've got a Netflix. So I'm going
to
go ahead.
They put up the whole season, JD, so you don't have to wait. You can sit and, you know, get yourself some snacks and watch it in a weekend.
Right. I'll probably do that actually on a Saturday sometime. Just binge. I love these shows like that. I love stuff where they kind of disclose things that, normally most people would never see about. And I'll tell you, that Utopia show, if you get a chance to watch it from the UK, scary, scary stuff. And I'm with you. I like to see any of this stuff, that they put out, because that's just, it's so telling these days. It just seems like they're going to get more and
more. House of Cards and Boss, my girl likes it. So if your women out there don't like all the political conspiracy talk, they will like these shows. It might get the foot in the door, so to speak.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, we got to go to a break here in just a quick second. I want to highly recommend again, everybody go to radiofreeblood.com and also check out the other site that Jack Blood has, which is deadlinelive.info. Jack, will you tell us a little bit about your radio show, sir?
Okay, it's on Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. It originates from Republic Broadcasting. All of my archives right now are free at deadlinelive.info. I also host the Thursday show on the Genesis Network called The Power Hour, sitting in for Joyce Riley every Thursday morning starting at 8 o'clock Eastern Time.
Oh, nice.
And how's that? Is that good?
That's fantastic. That's what I wanted. I want to make sure people can find you.
And we rock and roll, so I need people to know that we really rock and roll, and we study history every single day on our show. So if you love history, you like rock and roll, you like music and art, you're going to love our show.
Nice. I tell you, that's one of the reasons I'm such a big fan, Jack, to be perfectly honest, man. I'm huge into rock and roll, and I like the history. I like the perspective that you bring to the table. Looking forward to a little bit more of that when we come back from this 3-minute break. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys have questions, get them up in the chat room. We'll probably go ahead and open up the phone lines in the second segment of our guest today. Mr. Jack Blood joining us all the way from where he's at. We'll be right back, guys. 3 minutes. Keep it right here.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you? I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now, only at MUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Baker Show.
Monday through Friday, True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you all who are in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. If you guys have any questions for our special guest today, Jack Blood, please get them in there and I will steward them across. Jack, I am of the impression, and I'm wondering if you're under the same impression, are we getting ready to witness the worst election in the history of elections?
Well, how would that differentiate itself?
I'm just thinking that, I mean, we're going to see I got to imagine they're going to spend $1 billion collectively between Jeb and Hillary on this one. And the show that's going to be broadcast on the glowing boxes is going to be second to nothing that's ever happened in the history of elections before, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. They spent $1 billion on the last selection, as I call them. So, yeah, it'll be more than that. Whoever has the money wins. Jeb already has the money. They had a CPAC here over the weekend. Rand Paul won the vote going away. Mm-hmm. Scott Walker was second and so on down the line. Jeb was almost last, but you know, I remember back in 2008, I was, you know, on the Ron Paul train and we were at a straw poll in Fort Worth, Texas. And when they mentioned John McCain's name, he got like one vote. Everybody just laughed at
right.
him. And he ended up getting the nomination. So it's whoever has the most money behind them. Jeb has, you know, actually if people listen to me, I was saying this years ago that it would be Jeb and Hillary and people, you know, said I was crazy. And I don't know what I was talking about. And I also predicted, you know, who would run in the elections before that because it's so telegraphic. You can just really see it's such an obvious illusion
right.
in that it's an illusion. So Jeb is meeting at $100,000 a plate dinner with Henry Kravitz and Schwartzman from Blackstone and all the usual suspects, right? Mm-hmm. They've got him. So that doesn't matter what anyone else does. Most of them, like Ted Cruz or others, will, you know, take crumbs from the master's table and bark when told to and sit when told to. They're going to make good stalking horses in case anybody's really challenging the Bushes or the Clintons. The fact that Americans would even stand for this.
Oh, it's disgusting.
It was Bill Hicks' birthday here the other day. We were celebrating it on our show. And, by the way, it's Philip K. Dick's death day today, if you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't.
But I just wonder, you know, first of all, his jokes will still work from the 90s, Iraq, the Bushes. I mean, they're good for another 10 years because Bush is already scheduled to win the election, in my opinion. But imagine what he would think, seeing in the year 2015, Bush and Clinton running for president.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
It's laughable.
Yeah. I can't imagine what he's thinking right now. I mean, oh my God, I can't even imagine what Bill Hicks would be thinking about this.
Hey, there's no one more polarizing than Hillary. I don't even think she cares about being president. In fact, I think she'd rather be Secretary General of the United Nations or something, a more prestigious position than the lowly President of the United States. She's seen how that works, right? Up close. But she makes a great opponent because it will get the conservative, I call them phony conservatives, because I know real conservatives, they're good people. You know, Republicans, you know, they'll go out finally after settling for Jeb Bush like they settle for Romney, Cousin Mitt, and these guys are all cousins. And, you know, they would be bored if not to go out and vote against Hillary. So it's just going to work perfectly. We could stop it, but what would take its place?
That's the question. I mean, who would the dark horse runner be? I mean, you're looking at Rand. I don't think anybody's going to vote for him. And you got Ted, who, if anybody knows who his Ted's wife is, they would be, you know, hopefully not voting for him.
Well, the guy's from Canada. I mean, he was born in Canada. He was born in another country. So all the birthers are right now supporting Ted Cruz. Go figure out that one.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was Canadian. That's interesting.
And his dad fought with Castro in Cuba.
Oh.
Although he's sorry about it now. He wouldn't have done it now if he could look back. And I mean, who would, right?
But, right. Wow.
All right. So, yeah, Ted is a good stalking horse. Rand will do what he's told if you give him the right carrot and the stick and say, hey, you get to be, you know, a cabinet. You get a cabinet position out of this. Or maybe I think really the run is for the, as I call it, president of vice. So who gets to be vice president, right, for 8 years?
Okay.
So that's also interesting, and I think a lot of people looking at that very closely, too. But there are no real candidates. I used to like Ron Paul, and I think I will enjoy Rand in the debates. He might get a little feisty, and there might be kind of a Rudy Giuliani moment there.
Maybe, where, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, where people can learn about things, and so I'm happy with that, if that's what it's going to be. But there is no real challenge. In 2012, Ron Paul would have won that election if the Republicans, the party of which he belongs to, didn't kill him the entire way, steal Iowa from him, which they did clearly. They admitted it later. He would have rode on to get New Hampshire and Carolina, and he would have been the nominee, and there would have been a clear distinction between him and Obama. He would have stolen a lot of votes from Obama, but they killed that. So people used to always say, talking about politics, JD, people used to always say, Ron Paul's going to win back in 2006 or 7. Like, oh, I'm supporting him, but they'll kill us all first. So right. I don't think it's going to happen. I hate to be negative here, but... So it's going to be Jeb Bush, and you might as well calibrate your info weapons or whatever into that direction, because that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, then you heard it here first, folks. Jeb Bush, projected by Mr. Jack Blood to win the election. I think you're probably right. I think a lot of people out there – I don't think Hillary's – I think she's going to pull a lot of the you've got to vote for her because she's a woman kind of thing. But I don't know if that's been scientifically proven yet that she's actually, in fact, a woman. So I would just hold off on that vote if it was me. Personally.
Well, and then, you know, Jeb is, and his son George P. just won a big land commissioner in Texas. He's on the rise.
Right.
Man. Rehab, George P. Bush. It's Prescott Bush. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. Nice little reminder for us. But he is, he's married to a Hispanic woman. So, I mean, there he kind of can get the Hispanic vote. He's for what people call amnesty. That's kind of another dog and pony show. So
right. He's
got all the money. He's got the name recognition, and he's moderate. So he's not too radical. People will like it, and they'll win by default because every 8 years, like Carol Quigley used to tell us, every 8 years you change and you get hope that the change will take, and everybody drinks a little hopium, and there's mass hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'd look at it too, like Hillary, obviously he's got a lot of skeletons in her closet. It's not going to take a lot to dredge up a whole lot of bad things about Hillary. Jeb's a little bit more, you know, he's not necessarily as known as, she hasn't been in the spotlight as much as Hillary. So, I think he's got a leg up in that respect as well. So.
He's a PNAC-er, you know.
Right. Oh yeah.
So it'd be our first PNAC president.
Oh God. Man, you just had to make that go from bad to worse, didn't you, Jack? I didn't even realize he was part of the PNAC group.
Which means Israel, this little, fake tiff we're having with Bibi Netanyahu is facing his own election here in a week or two. Will all be settled by then because nobody loves Israel more than the Bushes, allegedly. So, So that will be fine, and they'll get the Jewish vote, which will be helpful, and they'll try to out-APAC each other all the way down the line.
What do you think about all this, all the revelations coming out about Israel and the, you know, the all this, all the cable leaks that just, you know, kind of came out from South Africa showing that, Israel had been working with Mossad and the CIA to either give bad information or bad blueprints on nuclear weapons to, Iran, or also just basically telling the inspectors that they had found these blueprints, that didn't turn out to be true. We've got, you know, a lot of people don't know that one of Obama's senior officials is an Iranian national. It just, it seems unusual to me, the rift that is going on between us and Netanyahu, or between Barack and Netanyahu, and I'm wondering how you think all that's going to shake out. Do you feel like we're going to come to some kind of resolution with Iran on their nuclear development, and how is that going to be reacted to by Netanyahu? You know, stuff like that.
Well, first on the cables, it wasn't anything we didn't know.
Right.
And, you know, Al Jazeera is a kind of a wing of the country of Qatar. So let's keep that in mind. You want to know what's going on? Read a document. It's kind of dry and boring from the Brookings Institution, Which Path to Persia. Okay. And in it, this is what they suggest. You tell me if this sounds familiar. Okay. Prescribed by Brookings.
When did this come out, if I can ask, the Brookings?
The document, I think, is from the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely, 2009, policy paper. Which Path to Persia? Options for a New American Strategy Towards Iran.
Okay.
Okay. So in it, what they want is they want to portray, the mad dog Israel wanting to unilaterally attack Iran. If you see the news today, it's
yes,
Obama was going to shoot down, we've heard right. this floated before, was going to shoot down the Israeli planes, which we gave them, if they tried to attack the Iranian nuclear facilities, which don't even really exist.
Right. Okay.
And so we're the good guys, right? It's good cop, bad cop. And this whole thing was written in Brookings. So they want to portray that this mad dog Israel will unilaterally attack Iran, which would give us plausible deniability if it actually happens, mm-hmm. okay? But it also puts these unreasonably horrible sanctions or deals that are now being negotiated with the Obama White House with Iran, it puts them in a whole different light. Basically, what they're saying is, this is an offer you shouldn't refuse.
Right.
We're the only ones holding back the mad dog, which is Bibi Netanyahu in Israel. So if I were you, I'd go for this. Otherwise, we got to bail out, and whatever happens will happen to you. And all of this, again, written as a policy paper. So I tend to believe that's exactly what's happening.
Okay, so how does then, again, let's put ISIS in the mix. What's your opinion of where ISIS came from? Was it part of this whole fracturing of Iraq initiative that looked like it came out of Israel back in the 80s? What is going on? I have so much trouble every single day. Here's my problem, Jack. Every single day I read, you know, Egypt today saying, Hamas is a terrorist organization. But then Egypt also today now going to build some nuclear power plants with Russia. Russia, obviously part of the BRICS organization, and in cahoots with Iran. Iran now against Israel. Israel now against Obama. I my brain literally wants to explode every single day.
And you know about all of this.
If
you don't know anything and you're just now looking at this from the front page of the New York Times or every news show because it's just repeated verbatim the same thing on every news format, mm-hmm. Imagine trying to figure it out then. I mean, we know about this stuff and it's a little
crazy. And then you throw Turkey in the mix. Let's just talk about Turkey for just
a
second.
Hold on. I mean, let's go back to ISIS for a second.
Okay.
I realize there's a lot to chew on here.
Okay.
When we mention Hamas, we have to remember where Hamas came from. Hamas was founded as a counter-political movement to the PLO by Israel.
Right.
As reported in the Wall Street Journal and other mainstream sources.
Correct.
So this is part of a Gladio P2OG. You know what's interesting about ISIS, which is no doubt our Frankenstein? Look at it this way, folks. ISIS isn't blowback from foreign policy. ISIS, or ISIL, or now they just call it IS, uh-huh. is foreign policy.
That's right, that's right.
So between the British, who don't do anything but plant flowers and have parades, right? They don't do anything ever. The French, which are now recruited. Italy, which has pledged its allegiance. There will be your next Copenhagen, Paris, Boston bombing style event if the people don't get behind going to war there. So let's just call it the European Union with Britain sitting at the head. And Israel and the United States, we created ISIS. We created them as sure as we created the Mujahideen. Although this is our Frankenstein that's gotten out of control and is marching and, you know, down and killing the villagers, is that's the fake story for all of this. So what's interesting to me is that as soon as Iraq wanted to declare their independence and kick out al-Maliki and kick out the occupiers and take their country back, and they were literally having an organic revolution there, this ISIS came about.
Right.
So, I mean, look at, just follow the money. Where does ISIS get their money? They're driving around trucks with GPSs in them. They're using phones with GPS. We can't find them. I don't know where they are. We can't even kill them. We don't know where they are. Where are they getting their guns? I mean, literally, just, they're dropping from the air from NATO, Incorporated.
Right.
And where are they getting their food? Where are they getting their money? All of this. This, man, the whole thing is 99% fake. Now, are there real radicals out there who have no other choice, who have been radicalized through the Wahhabist books in Saudi Arabia that as Greg Palast has found, that the United States funds, you know, these books, these Wahhabist books to radicalize these people? Sure, there's some of that. It's the same way that American kids go join the military because they just don't have any other options.
Right.
So, and, you know, look at the dumb people here. Well, they exist all over the world. They can be used and do that all over the world. Every single ISIS joining event, including the three guys in New York, all of it controlled by the FBI. All of them FBI stink.
Yes.
So the whole thing is fake. It doesn't take a lot of thinking to know it goes right back to the polarized world, us against them. If you're not with us, you're with the terrorists. Oceania is always at war with Eurasia, and you just got to have the Goldstein from Eurasia that's bad enough, that destroys these artifacts, that beheads people in fake beheading videos, that's hurting Christians, and that's it. 80% of Americans polled want to go to war with ISIS after everything we've been through in the last 7 years. So that's all you need. That's all people need to understand. It's fake, and it's just another position to lock us into the bipolar world, which can eventually evolve into one world government.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Syria then. Is this essentially we riled these guys up and we were going to try and use them as a proxy war to go after Assad? Was that the kind of the name of the game to get go, and now we're seeing it?
Well, yeah, we used them in Libya, and then they traveled. They're a traveling show, which we can't stop. What all these geopositioning satellites and massive modern Air Force and flying death robots. I can't do it, though. So we help them in order to, again, like Hamas against the PLO, in order to neutralize a growing faction or force. The Arabs are all too happy to put the Persians out of their misery. What people don't know is that as we've been attacking ISIS, and by attacking, I mean giving them more weapons and helping them all along the way.
Right.
We've actually are still going after Assad. He knows this. He's not cooperating with us. They had won, just like Gaddafi. They had won the war, just like in Crimea. They're winning the war against our proxies.
Right.
So you got to up the ante a little bit here. So now, using going after ISIS as a cover, we can go even deeper and use even more. Remember about two years ago, JD, that we were going to bomb Syria, like we're going to take them out the same way that we all came in with the French leading the way to take out Libya, right?
Yes, sir.
But the internet got all crazy, and consensus, I think real consensus, spoke very loudly and said, you better not. And they couldn't do it. So this is the other way. Mm-hmm. This is the plan C or D. And right now we're killing Syrian civilians in order to attack ISIS. We're not attacking ISIS. We're attacking Syria, Assad, and trying to move these pieces on this chessboard, using these civilians as pawn and using these radicals as pawns, and using Americans and civilized people around the world that back this and pay for it,
right,
and help to do it as pawns. So how does it feel to be a pawn, JD?
Well, I'll tell you, man, I'm getting a little sick and tired of it, to be perfectly honest, Jack. I don't even know what to do anymore, because I don't have any faith that the Bretton Woods institutions are going to do anything to save us from the gangbangsters. You know, we're at the bottom of the barrel now at this point. We've been robbed. We've been lied to. There's literally almost no truth anywhere around us right now. Every institution that I look at is fraud.
Well, forget all of that then.
Okay.
The one thing we can do is get Congress to coin the money without
interest.
So we don't need Bretton Woods. We don't need to go to the gold standard. Fiat currency isn't inherently a bad thing, though fractional reserve lending is.
Right.
Man, that'll send me on another long tirade. But let me just put it as simple as this. We don't have, you know, end the Fed, fine. Well, what happens after that? Because they want to end the Fed. They being the global money paradigm at Global Corp with all the banks, and we'll just put them under that general category. They want the Fed to end. They want a world bank that is electronic in nature, with the banker, without the dollar bills. It's something that they can just totally make up, and accounts they can freeze and track and follow everything you buy and sell. That's what they want. So if we can end the Fed and have the discussion of what goes next and not freak out because it's fiat currency and that currency can be used as a political tool by Congress, which it already is, then we just go and let Congress coin the money, or in this case, print the money or what have you. And we don't have to pay interest on it. I mean, that would just be one simple move. I don't know what's so complex about it.
Well, the complexity is that we have a Justice Department that doesn't give a crap about justice. There's nobody in a position of authority that actually either outranks the banksters or cares enough about the rest of us to do something about it. That's the thing, is we've got all these issues right now. We got this major, massive mortgage crisis scandal that's going on right now. All the lawsuits are there. It's ready to go to the Supreme Court. Nobody gives a crap. IRS doesn't care. It's the largest tax evasion lawsuit ever in the history of the world. Nobody cares. So I keep seeing all these situations where it's like, oh, there's going to be all these legal ramifications and we can do this. And how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we make these people accountable to us, Jack? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, well, you'll have to use consensus. So if you look at how the food revolution kind of organically started, sorry for that horrible pun, but this is the anti-GMO, all of this, farm to table. I live in like the farm to table capital of the world, basically here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is enacted by people who set aside their differences and find a consensus and go stand shoulder to shoulder, even though you don't agree with them on something else. Mm-hmm. And you make sure that enough people want it, and then it has to be. And then at that point, they're going to again try to fill a vacuum in a way that, you know, isn't going to be good for you. So you got to keep your eye on them. It is a constant, vigilant fight, if you want it like that, every single day. But the food revolution is a great example of how you can get things done through consensus. So this is happening. Fluoride is being – in fact, I think Israel just took fluoride out of the water.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And fluoride's being banned around the world. It's being banned in some cities, taken out. Mm-hmm. I know in Dallas, they got to the city council members and they said, look, it's just going to be cheaper. You're going to save millions of dollars. You can put that in someone else's pocket. And they're like, hey, that does sound kind of good. Since you could just go buy fluoride at Walmart, just go do that now then, okay? So these tactics and ideas are working. Where I live in East Atlanta, Georgia, all the communities around me, including mine, have banned box stores, have banned 7-Elevens, Dunkin' Donuts, chain outlets,
really?
Nothing, all mom and pop and all proprietary and all boutique stores everywhere now. Each city is following this path, and it's creating what is kind of a local, there is no utopia, but it's kind of this local flavor and culture, and where people can start their own businesses and not have to compete with Dunkin' Donuts or Walmart or 7-Eleven. So we see all of the, despite all the bad things we talk about every day, JD, we see a lot of good things happen, and they're happening through consensus. In my neighborhood, AT&T was trying to put up a new cell tower. The neighbor said no, and it didn't happen. So, you know, it takes a lot of work. You can't just write a small character sentence on Facebook or Twitter and then just walk away.
Right.
It takes some work. We stopped the toll roads in Texas. We stopped forced Gardasil vaccinations in Texas. We stopped, I'm now living in Georgia, but we stopped, all of us working together from different stripes. We also stopped No Child Left Behind, the New Freedom Initiative, the forced testing, psychological testing, and drugging of our children. So these are all things we can do if we're a little bit organized, if we don't have people with the giant egos leading us, who only want publicity for themselves and to enrich themselves, who will sell you out at the first track. If we stay kind of decentralized, then we can do it. And that's what I talk about. Decentralize and repeal. Those are the solutions. Decentralize, because you'll have more power if you're not overly centralized. and making your own decisions in your own communities, and repeal because all laws and regulations are selectively enforced.
Man, could not have said that better. I got to ask you, though, about did you see the story about the secessionists in Texas that were basically big show of force, but like 20 officers came and arrested a bunch of them at their meeting. They're basically like they're meeting for the Republic of Texas. There's some pretty well-educated
guys. Actually went and they shipped me over there this summer to go speak for their group. Mm-hmm. They had a big rally. That's the Republic of Texas. They're not secessionists, though, JD.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's like the 16th Amendment, that Texas was never legally annexed into the United States, so they are sticking to that. They have their own president, the vice president, senators, Congress, all of that. And yes, they did get raided because one of their members sent a subpoena to a judge, and
right.
It was definite overkill. JTTF all the way.
Oh, really?
Those guys about 15 years ago, their leader went nuts and kidnapped somebody, and the cops had a standoff with the guy. So I don't know. They took all their stuff. They're getting their stuff back, and so it all's well that ends well. I think more publicity for them is great. They're really, really good people, though, JD. I got to tell you, really like salt of the earth,
right.
give you the shirt off their back kind of people, and I'm proud to be associated with them in some way.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, and that's one of those things. I mean, we're right at that cusp right now where we're going to see some pretty major blowback coming up against anybody who is standing up against the system and trying to organize. I mean, it's like we just said, the solution was to stand up, to organize, to get yourself ready to go. And that's exactly what we're seeing with these guys down in Texas. And what happens? Well, you know, basically get the amphibian assault vehicles brought out into their meetings.
Well, they're very old. Look, listen, we had a governor, Deborah Medina, would have been the governor of Texas had it not been for certain people intervening. One of them is now the lieutenant governor. The other one was Glenn Beck. The other one I don't even want to mention. Okay, you might know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But we had she was going to beat Rick Perry. And these people, like their whole staff were 9/11 truthers. And, you know, I mean, I was going to be potentially the press secretary for the governor.
Wow.
We had forced this runoff. I mean, Deborah Medina was blessed by everyone in the media. She's a true libertarian, really. And we would have won that election. Where Texas goes, the rest of the country goes. So I thought that was a really great movement that had a ton of support. And it got killed, not even so much by the opposition, but by our own people.
Can lead a horse to water, huh, buddy?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. So consensus means that we have to kind of be a little more accepting of other people's belief systems. Otherwise, we ourselves have a controlled belief system,
right?
Which is, in a sense, a dogma that is nothing less than mind control. So we all have to have open minds. We all have to be open to change our opinions if necessary, or to work with people who on one issue, like abortion or something, mm-hmm. we're diametrically opposed to. These wedge issues and divide and conquer is how they keep us like this every day. If we vote with our money and we vote as a consensus, we give them the consent to govern, and we could completely take everything back in about 2 weeks.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it. Let's start today, because I've only got about 2 weeks more of tolerance left for this entire system.
Right on, bro.
Jack, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. Appreciate Absolutely. It. Stay bold, man.
You do the same, my friend. And everybody, please go check out RadioFreeBlood.com and also the DeadlineLive.info. Check out everything that Jack Blood's doing. I'm telling you, you're not going to find a more insightful guy on the internet as far as I'm concerned. Really appreciate him being here. Appreciate all of you guys in the chat room today. Tomorrow, Karen Hudis will be joining us. You guys take care. Good luck out there. We're going to get through all this stuff together. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are.
are. Make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.